experience. Church, you need an encounter with the living God. You don't need more religion. You don't need more of what man can do. But what is going to make a drastic difference in your life is when you get to the point that you have a real encounter with a very real God. When we have an encounter with God, we meet God face to face. And we read the story of a man called Jacob in the Bible that had an encounter with God. And today, I want us to look at that passage that demonstrates to us what happens to a man or a woman that has an encounter with God. Just to give you a little bit of background in the life of Jacob. The Bible tells the story of a dysfunctional family. You know what amazes me about the Bible is that the Bible is full of stories of dysfunctional families. And it's also full of the revelation of what God can do and how God can heal a dysfunctional family. Amen. So Jacob had a dysfunctional family. Esau was his brother. And the parents played favoritism in that home. If there is anything that is going to divide a family, it's when parents play favorite with children. And Jacob's parents played favorite with him and his brother. Esau was favored by the dad. And Jacob was mama's boy. And when their father Isaac was on his deathbed, he asked Esau to kill a wild game for him with the promise that then he will bless him. And while Esau was out hunting, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, very dumb woman in my opinion, helped their younger son Jacob to come up with a scheme to trick Isaac into blessing him instead. And when Esau returned home that day, Jacob had already received the blessing, which guaranteed him a double portion of the inheritance. And the brother was furious. He was livid. And that day he made a vow, and it was this: if I catch you, I'm going to kill you. So Jacob had to flee and had to leave his home. And after years of living apart from his family, from his brother, Jacob now decides to return to his home and hope to make peace with his angry brother. And one night on the journey, while coming back home, he sent everyone ahead of him while he stayed behind. And we pick up the story in the book of Genesis. Turn there with me. Genesis chapter 32, beginning in verse 24. When you get there, say amen. Don't be too quiet with me this morning. Remember, we're Pentecostal. And in verse 24, it says that then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And that man was Jesus Christ. When he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And then Jacob asked him, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. I want us to see, because this passage clearly shows to us the different things that happen to a person that has an encounter with God. And the first thing that happens to a person that has an encounter with God is this: an encounter with God changes you. I didn't hear no amen on that one. That's okay, because we are sleeping. Amen. An encounter with God changes you. Yes, it does. God must change sinners into his image before he can become one with them. The problem with most Christians is this: nobody can change on their own. You cannot be transformed on your own. You cannot change on your own. Nobody can change by following a whole bunch of rules and regulations. And that has been one mistake that modern church has made. We have given people a whole bunch of rules. We have taught about the book of Exodus and the Ten Commandments, and we say, here is the law, obey it. But if there's anything that history proves and the Bible shows, is this: nobody can be transformed by following a whole bunch of rules and regulations. You can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that it will not change you unless you have an encounter with God. We need an encounter with God in order to stop being the same people that we have been since we were born. Rules and regulations are not going to change us, but an encounter with God will change you. The encounter that Jacob had with God that day change him forever. Turn to Genesis chapter 32, verse 27. And he says to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. You see, the changing of a name in scripture means a change in the nature of that individual. God did not change Jacob's name just because he didn't like his name and now let me name you Israel. No. There is something powerful going on behind the changing of a name. And that is that day when he encountered the power of the living God, God changed the nature and the heart of Jacob. The name Jacob means supplanter. What an appropriate name for this man. Because this man was a liar. This man was a conniving supplanter. This man is willing to lie. This man is willing to step upon other people's rights. This man is willing to cheat and is willing to steal in order to get whatever he wants in life and in order to gain God's blessing. Do you know anyone like that in your life? Perhaps you have been like that most of your life. You have been working your way through life using your charisma, using your words. You have been lying. You have been stealing. You have been cheating. You have been pushing others out of the way to get whatever you want in life. This man has caused division in his own family because he had to run away from his home. Esau had been very angry with him. Because Jacob tricked him one day. Tricked his own brother out of his blessing to get what he wanted. And for years he had to run away from home. He has caused division in his family. You know, if there is anything that divides families, is selfishness. If there is anything that divides families, it's the hardness of heart. It's the pride and the ambition of a human heart. Oh, how many of us have caused division in our own families? And he had to believe with his own uncle, Laban, for years. Because nobody wanted him at home. He was such a spoiled brat that nobody could stand with him. He could keep no meaningful relationship in his life. So he had been living with his uncle Laban for years. And while he was there, he married Leah and he married Rachel. And they had many sons. But one day, when Jacob least expected him, when he thought that he had gotten away with his own selfishness, the Lord God Almighty spoke to him in prayer and said this to him: go back. Go back to your home. Go back and face your brother. Church, this is something very powerful that we need to know about our God, and it's this: God does not allow anyone to get away with murder. God does not allow us to get away with our sin before he can bless us. And yes, God wants to bless you. And yes, God is a good God that wants to use you and wants to give you a new life. But before he can do that, there is one thing that we all must do, and it's this: we must allow God to help us face the unresolved issues in our lives. We must allow God to help us with him deal with the issues and the mistakes of our lives. Church, God wants to bless us. God wants to heal your marriage. God wants to prosper you. But before you can experience the fullness of God's blessing, we must allow him to change us. We must allow him to change us. An encounter with God enables you to see yourself for who you really are. At the light of the presence of Jesus Christ, all of our faults, all of our iniquities, and even the hidden things of our heart that we ourselves do not know are going to come to light. His light reveals his flaws, our flaws. And God asked Jacob that day, what is your name? Like if he didn't know the name of Jacob. Like if he didn't know that his name was Jacob. Right. What is your name? And he said, Jacob, sir, nice to meet you. But God knew his name. God knew everything about this man. And he wanted Jacob to acknowledge and to confess his sin before God that day. His name represented who he was. And in essence, by telling God what his name was, he made a confession before God one day. And it was this: God, my name is Jacob. God, my name is liar. My name is supplanter. My name is selfishness. My name is the wickedness of my heart. I confess that I am a supplanter. That I cheat, that I lie, and that I manipulate people. That I deceive people to get what I want in life. And the beauty of God's grace is this. Immediately after he gives him his name, God says to him, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. God changed the name of Jacob that day into Israel. In other words, an encounter with the living God changed Jacob that day, where he would no longer be a supplanter, where he would no longer be a liar, where he would no longer manipulate and control people in life to get what he wants. But that day God says, from now on, you're going to be Israel. From now on, I'm going to turn you into a prince. That's what the name Israel means. A prince who prevailed with God. But this transformation only came when Jacob had an encounter with the living God. This transformation came when, in the light of God's presence, God exposed the mistakes and the flaws and the wickedness in his heart. This change came when Jacob realized that his own weaknesses and his own inabilities will not be able to overcome him on his own, but that he needed God to change him and change him desperately. Folks, we cannot help ourselves. We cannot change ourselves. The only way to get to a place in life when we can walk in the blessing and in the freedom that Jesus Christ has for us is when we allow God to change us, not through religion, not through hypocrisy, but to change us with an encounter with the living God. Church, what you need is an encounter with the living God. Only God can help us. Amen. Jacob learned a powerful lesson that day. And it was that through an encounter with God, given to realize that God's power and blessing can only be received through the dying of the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says it this way. Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most likely, I would rather boast in my infirmities. Paul learned something powerful through an encounter with God, and it's this: I don't want to boast about my title. I don't want to talk about the way God uses me. I don't want to talk about how people are saved when I preach. I don't want to talk about all the experiences that I had as a religious leader, because everything that my flesh has to offer is just a filthy rag before you. Yes. But rather, I am going to boast on my weaknesses. I am going to boast on my mistakes. I am going to boast on what I lack rather than what I have. Because then and only then, the power of God can rest upon me. An encounter with God changes you, church. Real worship is not about some religious ceremony that we go through. But real worship is about having an encounter with the living God. And God is here today. The presence of God is here today. Come to the presence of God and have an encounter with the real God. I have been safe for over 30 years now. And I have seen a lot of people have had a real encounter with God. But in all those years, I have also seen some great pretenders. And how do they know that they are pretenders? Because after they stood, after they answered the altar call, after they pray, after they weep, and after they cry and they shed tears, they got up from these altars and they continue to live in the same way that they have since they were born. They were touched by God. They entered the presence of God. They heard the Holy Spirit. They were touched by the gift of the Spirit. But they never had a real encounter with the living God. When we really encounter God, it changes us. It changes us. It might not change everything about us right away, because transformation is a process that takes time, that takes prayer, that takes surrender. But church, what I'm saying is this. If you have come to church week after week and you have continued to live in the same way that you have for years, it's nothing and you have changed. It's nothing about the way you speak. It's nothing about the way you walk in life has changed. I'm here to tell you that you might have come to church for years, but you still need an encounter with the living God, because it is an encounter that is going to change you. Don't settle for a religious experience. Encounter the living God, and He will change you. He will change the way you think. He will change the way you react to people and circumstances. He will change your priorities. He will change, and He will teach you how to love others with the love of Christ. He will turn you into a prince. Just like He did to Jacob. If God were to ask you, what is your name this morning? What will we say? God, my name is pride. Lord, my name is reliance in self. Lord, my name is fornicator and adulterer. Lord, my name is pornography. No, my name is alcohol, or my name is drug. If God were to ask us, what is our name this morning? What name are we going to give Him? But the hope that we find in this passage is this. No matter what your name is this morning, God says, if you have an encounter with Me, if you surrender before My presence this morning, I am going to turn you into a prince. I am going to turn you into the vessel that I can use in this world, and into the vessel that I can bless with every possible blessing that I have for you. It is an encounter with God that is going to change you, church. Amen. The second thing that happens to a person that has an encounter with God is that an encounter with God makes you hungry for Him. An encounter with God makes you hungry for Him. Verse 25 to 26. When he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What is it that you want most in life? All night long, Jacob struggled against God. And what God does, he simply touches his hip and the struggle is over. All you need is a touch from the hand of God this morning and your struggle in life will be over. Hallelujah. Often we do the same. We resist God. We resist the word of God. We resist the changes that God wants to do in us. But church, if there is anything that this passage is teaching us this morning, is this. You can resist your God all your life, and you can resist your God with everything that is within you, that you will never ever win God. All his fighting against God made no difference. At the end, God disabled Jacob, and he can resist God no longer. And so often God needs to do the same thing with us, because we haven't learned to surrender. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the power of his spirit. We believe in his word. But we are still resisting God. And many times God has to dislocate our hips too. Many times God has to allow situations to come our way. Many times God has to allow people to come our way. Many times God has to take us through the valley, to the shadow of day, because he's trying to disable us, church. God uses whatever he needs to use us in our lives to take us to a place of surrender, to disable us, so that then he can take charge of our lives, so that then he can be in control of our lives. God is the only blessing that counts. At last, Jacob sees that God himself is the only blessing that counts. Church, God is not something that we use to achieve our objective in life. God is not something that we use to get things in life. But God himself is the objective of life. God himself is our lives. Jacob holds on to God saying, I want you above all else. You have dislocated me. In other words, you have broken my character. You have stripped me from the things that I have been relying on. Even my own mother that has protected me all my life. My own mother is not even around to protect me from my brother anymore. You have removed from my thing everything. Everything and everyone that I rely on. But God, despite of it all, I want you above all else. I cling to you and I desire you above all else. David said it this way. In Psalm 63 verses 1 through 8. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and a weary land, and where there is no water, my soul clings to you. Church, are you clinging to God? Have you learned to cling to God? Have you learned to understand that nothing in this life matters outside of God? Jacob became hungry for God that day. He no longer wants possessions. He no longer is willing to lie and cheat in order to get the woman that he wants. He's not relying or depending on anything else on this life. He just wants God. He clings to God with everything that there is within him. And my question to you this morning is this. Have you come to the point in your life that you want God more than anything else? Do you want God more than anyone else in your life? What is standing in the way of you seeing that God is the greatest treasure that you can have? Everything that you desire can be found only in God. The love that you desire, no one in this world is going to be able to give it to you. Not even the best of spouses. Not even the best of parents. But the love that you so desperately desire can only be found in God. Amen. The success, the purpose, the identity, the peace that you so desperately desire can only be found in God. So many people give up on God. So many Christians no longer pray earnestly. They don't come to church faithfully. They don't read and meditate on the word of God every day. Why? Because they were touched by God. They were touched by the hand of Jesus. They were touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. But they have not had a real encounter with the living God. If you are not hungry for God, you don't need more sermons. You don't need more preaching. You don't need more music, and you don't need more religion. If you're not hungry for God, what you need is a real encounter with the living God. Amen. The third thing that happens to a person that has an encounter with God is that an encounter with God leads you to total surrender. An encounter with God leads you to total surrender. We save our lives by losing it. Amen. And this is a principle that operates in the kingdom of God that the human mind cannot comprehend.
That's right.
Because it's so opposite
right.
to what the world teaches us.
Yep.
But in the kingdom of God, you win your life by losing it and by giving it all to Jesus.
That's right.
Jacob was striving all his life with people. He was striving all his life with God, and he lost. He spends all his night resisting God, and he lost. But finally, he was able to see how fighting with people, these people that live all their life fighting people, these women that live fighting their husbands all their lives, these women that live fighting their children, fighting their boss, fighting their pastor, fighting their friends all their lives. There's people that live fighting and fighting and fighting people and wanting to have the last word on everything. And this was Jacob, and he lost. Can you see that you're losing, church? Fighting people, resisting God, is only going to do one thing for you. Hear my voice this morning. Fighting people and resisting God is only going to cost you pain. It's only going to cost you trouble. It's only going to cost you loneliness. Nothing in our lives will prosper as long as we are resisting God.
Wow.
Jacob had to lean forward to meet his brother Esau.
Right.
Don't miss what is happening here. Jacob is about to face a brother that hates him and wants him dead with everything that is within him. Esau has been waiting on this day for years to have the life of a man that took and stole everything from him, standing in front of him, so that he can kill him with no passion. And yet God sent Jacob to face this man with absolutely no strength, with no weapon, nothing at all. If God had not been there with Jacob that day, that man would have slaughtered him and cut him into pieces, because he did not even have the strength to run away from him. But yet we see the opposite. That day God healed that relationship. That day God reconciled the family of Jacob, and he reconciled the relationship of Jacob and Esau. Why is that? Because the place of victory is the place of surrender. The place of healing is the place of surrender. The place of breakthrough is the place of surrender.
Amen.
He had to live to meet his brother. And when he came before his brother, he had nothing. He had nothing. He had no family. He didn't have charisma. God did not allow him to lie or cheat that day or to give an excuse to his brother. But he had the power of God with him. He had the blessing of God with him. He had the presence of God. He lost his physical power that day, and he lost everything that he used to depend on. But now he has something that nobody else can give, and that is he has a new identity. Now he has a heart that knows how to worship and knows how to obey God, and now he has the power of God with him. Now he has a heart that desires God above everything else in life. Now he's able to look at Esau in the eye and say, I know that I stole this inheritance from you. You want it back? I'll give it back to you right now. I'll give you back every penny, every dime, and every dollar. Leave me without anything, Esau, because right now I have something that is much bigger, that is much precious than this inheritance. And now I have God, and now I have his presence, and now I have his blessing with me. God demands total surrender. Total surrender. Church, I tell you out of my own experience. I tell you, I have died 1,000 deaths since I became a woman of God. I don't know how many nails I have in my hands this morning. I don't know how many nails I have in my feet this morning. Sometimes they hurt, sometimes they bleed, and sometimes it's even hard to move because of the nails that I have on my body. But I tell you, God demands total surrender. If you want a change in your life, if you want peace, if you want joy, if you want your marriage to work, if you want your family to work, if you want your business to work, you have got to surrender to God. God demands total surrender. He don't want to be the God of some of your heart. He don't want to be the God of a portion of your marriage, but he wants to be the God that owns your heart, the Lord, the God that owns your devotion. That he wants to be the Lord and the ruler and the God of everything and every area of your life. Can you say amen to him this morning?
Amen.
Romans chapter 12, amen. Verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God wants to own your body. Who owns your body? Is the devil still owning your body? Is sexual immorality owning your body? Is the Lord of pride and the Lord of rebellion and the Lord of disobedience still owning your body? Or is Jesus the owner of your body, church? Who owns your body? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This mind ought to change. These thoughts ought to change. We must allow God to change this mind that is wicked.
Yes. Yep.
That you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says there, be transformed. Be changed. You cannot do that on your own. You cannot do that by memorizing scripture. You cannot do that in prayer alone. What you need is an encounter with the living God. The same encounter that Jacob had that day and changed his life forever. We need an encounter. We need change. The reason that the church is in such struggle and such need, because we have not gone through change. The problem of this world is not the devil and it's not the world. The problem of this world is that it's full of wicked hearts that have not surrendered to a living God yet.
Yes.
It needs to be transformed. It needs to be changed. That's what we need. From the youngest to the oldest. We need change. We need a spiritual change. We need a moral change. We need a change in thinking. And we need a change in emotions. God is calling us today. All of us to surrender to his son Jesus Christ. Don't resist God. Don't you realize that you're not going to win? Don't you realize that pain and suffering and sickness and trouble and division is going to come our way as long as we find ourselves resisting the hand of an almighty God? You never are going to win over God. So I'm going to encourage you tonight or this morning to come to him and say, Lord, I surrender. We all need to surrender, church. Don't settle any longer for a religious experience. Don't settle to come to church and offer rituals and ceremonies that are good for nothing. Seek an encounter with the living God. What we need is an encounter with Jesus, because it is an encounter with Jesus that is going to change us forever and it's going to make a difference in our lives. An encounter with God changes you. An encounter with God is going to make you hungry for more of him. And an encounter with God is going to lead you to surrender.